This is Audible.
50 Shades of Hell, an extreme horror story. Written by Tim Miller. Narrated by Lady Abaddon.
50 Shades of Hell by Tim Miller. Copyright 2017, Tim Miller. All rights reserved. No part of this publication may be reproduced, distributed, or transmitted in any form or by any means, including photocopying, recording, or other electronic or mechanical methods, without the prior written permission of the publisher, except in the case of brief quotations, embodied in critical reviews, and certain other non-commercial uses, permitted by copyright law. The following is a work of fiction. Any representation of any actual persons living or dead is coincidental. Cover model, Dominique Skye.
Prologue. The house had sat on the corner for years. Derek had been a real estate agent for 2 years and hadn't managed to sell the place. He was lucky if he could show it a few times a year. A few people were curious about it, but mostly curious about what had once happened there. The home had a sordid history. It reminded him of the murder house in season one of American Horror Story, except this hadn't been a string of murders. It had just been one group mass murder. Details had been sketchy, but there were all kinds of stories about satanic sex orgies and God knows what else. Dirk didn't buy any of it. He figured someone got drunk and killed their family. At the root of most haunted house stories, that was the usual cause. This night, Dirk had a bit to drink himself and decided to check out the place on his own. It was late and dark, so why the hell not? He stumbled down the street and up to the house. He punched in his code on the lockbox and turned the knob. He walked in and closed the door behind them. The home was relatively well kept for having been abandoned for so long. The property management company had housekeepers come in and tidy up a few times a month to keep the dust and cobwebs off the place. Dirk walked into the empty living room and looked around. He thought about the last couple he'd showed the house to. They turned out to be a pair of ghost hunters. They broke out their recording devices and equipment right there on the door trying to hear the spirits about. Dirk had gone into another room and pounded on the walls. That scared the shit out of them. They figured out soon it was him before calling him an asshole and storming off. Dirk didn't care. Not like he'd lost the sale. They weren't going to buy shit. They just wanted goodies for their YouTube channel.
"Hey, ghost,"
he called out.
"I'm here. I'm ready for Satan to take my soul."
He took a drink of his beer and stumbled up the stairs. He'd been in the place so many times. There had been more than a few times ghost hunters had gotten caught breaking in. He wished they could set booby traps for idiots like that. The owners never pressed charges, though. They didn't want the publicity of ghost hunters. They just wanted a family to move in and get this place off their books. Dirk had suggested on more than a few occasions just raising the place and either selling the land or rebuilding a duplex or something on it, but they said no. This home had historical value. It had been around since Texas was its own country, so it stayed. At the top of the stairs, Dirk wandered into the different empty rooms. He looked in the closets. In the main hall upstairs, there was a huge walk-in closet. It could have been another bedroom if someone were creative enough. Looking in the back of the closet, he saw a door. Another closet within a closet? This was new. He'd never noticed this before. He opened the door and it revealed a flight of stairs going up. The attic. He'd always figured the place had an attic, but never thought much of it. He headed up the stairs wondering what he might find. Who knows? An old place like this? Maybe he'd find some artifact worth something. Maybe make a few bucks off it. When he reached the top, he saw there wasn't much there. Mostly darkness and cobwebs. Though there was a trunk in the corner, he walked over and, using his cell phone as a flashlight, opened the trunk. There wasn't much in it. There was an old dress, a hairbrush, and some jewelry, but none of it looked expensive. Most of it looked like dime store stuff. "Why are you going through my things?" a woman asked from behind him. The voice scared the shit out of him, but he spun around to see a beautiful young woman standing there wearing a white dress.
Her things? Was she a squatter here?
He's had squatters on some of his other properties. It was always really embarrassing when you're showing a home. And there are a bunch of smelly junkies lying around. Though it was usually on the crappier houses, once in a while, they show up in nice places.
Your things? Why are your things here? This is private property, Dirk said.
Yes, my home.
Your home? What are you talking about?
She walked over and put a finger on his chest. Her hands were soft and warm. This is my home. Did you come with an offering?
Look, lady, you don't live here. I don't know what offering you...
He stopped when she reached down and began massaging his cock through his jeans. He instantly hardened at her touch. Would you offer me this?
How? I don't know if we should do this.
She pushed him against the wall, and suddenly he felt himself falling. He tried to catch himself, but soon he landed onto a soft mattress. Instead of landing on the dirty floor, he landed on a large, soft bed. Looking around, he saw the bed was surrounded by candles. The girl was now straddling him, and she was naked and pulling his clothing off. The bed was one of the old-style ones with four posts around it and a canopy above. She leaned down and kissed him. He felt electricity burn through his body as her lips touched his. He leaned up and kissed her back as she reached down and began massaging his cock. He grew so hard as he throbbed at her strokes. He had no idea how any of this was happening, but wasn't about to protest now. She pushed him back and licked his neck before nibbling on his ear and whispering, "Do you offer yourself to me?"
"Do I what?"
"Do you offer yourself to me?" "All of yourself," she asked, continuing stroking his cock, her hand twisting around his shaft with each stroke.
"Yes, yes, I offer myself to you."
"Good," she said as she sat up. The smile on her face grew larger as a dozen hooks fell from the ceiling. Dirk looked at her, confused as she began to laugh. And then he started to scream. Chapter 1. Bruce and Karen walked into the old house. Immediately, Karen noticed a wet, musty smell. Bruce either didn't notice it or it didn't bother him. "This place stinks," Karen said as she walked inside looking around. They currently lived in an apartment, but were ready to buy a house. They'd only been married a year, but had been a couple for 3 years. Bruce worked in a deli full-time, but also painted. He did art shows and comic conventions on weekends, painting comic book characters for real money, though he tried to sell his original stuff, that was much harder. Karen was an accountant. Not the most exciting job in the world, but she liked numbers and liked puzzles. And doing people's books and taxes was a mix of both. Besides, it paid well while Bruce was chasing his dream. Though part of her hoped he'd find a real direction soon, if the dream didn't pay off. They were both almost 30, and she liked to start a family eventually. "It's just been sitting here for a bit. It's an older home," Barbara said. She was the realtor and more than happy to finally be showing this house that had been on the market for longer than she'd been a realtor. There were all kinds of bonuses in place to anyone who could move it. "I'd say more than a bit. You can't like this thing, can you, Bruce?" Karen pictured something smaller. This home seemed so big, but maybe it meant Bruce wanted a large family one day. Maybe she should consider it.
"It's got style, class. I like it."
They walked through the kitchen and into the living room. "I've read about this place," Karen said. "All the satanic rituals here? No wonder no one has bought it. I don't blame them. I'm not sure why we are even here."
"You don't believe all that nonsense, do you? The guy got drunk and killed his family. Then he tried to blame it on the satanic cult. And people ate that shit up. Besides, who knows? Maybe we'll buy it. And your buddies from Paranormal Stoners will come here and do a show."
"Paranormal Stoners?" Barbara asked.
"Yeah, it's a YouTube show," Bruce explained. "These morons go in the haunted places, hit a bong, and then go and ghost hunt."
"Are you serious?" "Oh my God, it is amazing," Karen said. "They are hilarious, and they have found some crazy shit. I swear, they found actual demons.
Oh, Christ.
Seriously! Karen slapped Bruce's arm. I think the THC opens their minds to be more susceptible to the spiritual. Their energies are flowing and they are ready to receive the spirits. I'm not sure what all that means, Barbara said.
It's called paranormal fuckery. It's all bullshit.
Don't listen to him, Karen said. Maybe you're right. Maybe we will take it, and I'll make you smoke a bowl with me so the dead people can come possess you.
Yeah, sure. Just don't inhale.
Barbara chimed in. Let's take a look at the upstairs. They walked upstairs and looked through the bedrooms and the upstairs bathroom. Bruce was impressed by how roomy the place was. Plenty of space, and the asking price was a literal steal. Bruce wasn't superstitious and didn't believe in ghosts, hauntings, or other nonsense. If all that meant he got a better deal, then so be it. He was for it.
I say we take it,
he said. Bruce, Karen began.
The price is amazing, and look at the room in here. You could have a whole crafting room. I could have a room to paint. I mean, shit, we'd even have an extra room to store shit. Lots of things we could do with this place. Hell, invite your stoner buddies over.
They aren't my buddies. I've never met them. They have like 2 million viewers.
Whatever. Maybe they will be now.
So you'll take it? Barbara asked.
Yeah, we will,
Karen said. Like, seriously, you're not pulling my leg?
No, we really want the house.
Yay! Barbara hopped and skipped as she headed for the door. I'm sorry. This is my first sale in a while. And, well, we're glad to move this house finally. Let me go to my car and get some papers. She returned a few minutes later with some documents they'd filled out. They'd already been pre-approved by their bank, so that part was already in the works. All right, guys. I'll see you soon. This is exciting. Barbara said as she headed out. Karen and Bruce followed and stopped to get a drink on the way home. I can't believe I let you talk me into that place, she said.
Hey, what can I say?
She was looking on her phone and held it up. Jesus Christ, Bruce.
What?
She held her phone up to his face. This place is called the San Antonio Satanic House.
Aw, get the fuck out of here with that. All your internet legends and shit. Maybe Slenderman will get us too.
Fuck off, dick.
It'll be fine. Maybe the stoner guys will pay us to use the house. Maybe we could charge for haunted tours or sleepovers.
Hey, now that's an idea, Karen said. Haunted sleepover. I like it.
You can deal with them, though. Not sure I want to deal with all the investigators.
He used air quotes for investigators.
Running around my house.
Their money spends the same.
Let's hope so. I could hide in the walls and make funny noises. They'll go nuts. Maybe record some stuff and play the reflection off the trees or have a dummy pop out of the trunk in the attic.
Ooh, that could be spooky.
It would be. I saw it on a Halloween episode of the Brady Bunch rerun when I was a kid. My mom loved that show.
You're such a dork.
I am not. I'm very distinguished.
She leaned over and kissed him on the nose. I need to do something about that smell. And I'm painting it. It's way too dark.
Fine. Do what you want with it.
As long as we're clear. She finished her drink and stood. Came around the table and took his arm. Let's go home and really celebrate. Chapter 2. Bruce watched Karen towel off after her shower. Even when she was in the shower, he'd sometimes sneak in and watch her through the shower curtain. Sure, that was a little creepy. But he was her husband after all. He was allowed a tiny bit of creepiness. Besides, she knew he was there, but pretended not to notice. It was a little game they played. She loved how much he enjoyed her. He never got tired of looking at her body. In the years they've been together, seeing her naked has always turned him on. Her mom was Hispanic and dad was white. So she had this beautiful golden brown skin that stayed the same year round. Deep brown eyes and long, thick black hair too. She walked over to the bed and opened the drawer, but he pulled her down onto the bed. What are you doing? She asked, laughing.
What's it look like?
He asked as he slid the towel away and began kissing her neck. Again? You're spunky tonight.
What can I say? You rev my engines.
He kissed down her breast and licked around her nipple. She sighed as he sucked on her nipple. nibbling it gently and licking and kissing to her other breast, repeating the same. Licking, sucking, and nibbling on her nipple before kissing in between her breasts. She was breathing hard now as he kissed down her stomach. He licked along her waist and inside her thigh. She arched her back, whimpering.
Well, Mr. Williams, I do believe you are headed downtown.
He didn't reply as he licked one broad stroke through her labia. They both quivered as her body shuddered. He teased again and she grabbed him by the hair, pressing his face into her pussy. Bruce stuck out his tongue and pressed inside her as far as he could, licking up and down until his tongue found her clit. He flicked her clit back and forth before sucking it into his mouth.
Oh, fuck.
Holy shit. She called out as he sucked on her clit before giving it a gentle nibble. She trembled again as he licked it some more. A second time, he sucked it into deep into his mouth, rubbing his tongue across it at the same time.
Jesus H.
She cried out as her whole body shook. He licked and nibbled as her juices filled his mouth and ran down his chin. He lapped every last bit of her up, as if she were his last meal, before her body began to relax. He leaned up and kissed her. She enjoyed kissing him after he went down on her. It turned him on when she tasted herself. They kissed deeply as she reached down and began stroking his cock through his boxers, before sliding them off. She kissed down his chest until she was level with his hard cock. She licked around the shaft before taking him into her mouth, working her way up and down the shaft. Bruce leaned back and moaned as his cock throbbed in her mouth. She reached down and massaged his balls while sucking him deeper and faster. He'd get so hard, he was about to blow. Then she'd back away and repeat it. She had so much control over when and how he'd get off. It was amazing. After a few more minutes, she took her mouth off his cock and smiled. "I want you inside me," she said as she pushed him back and straddled him. He lay back as she slid down onto his shaft. He reached up and placed his hands on her tits, squeezing them as she rocked back and forth. His cock grew inside her as it stretched her pussy out. She glided perfectly on his hard cock, and her juices ran down his shaft. While she bounced her ass up and down, faster and harder she rocked while she moaned. Soon, her moans turned into screams as her pussy tightened around him, and he couldn't hold it in any longer. Hot rockets of cum exploded inside her, and he let out a grunt while Karen cried out. They kept rocking and bouncing for another minute before Karen lay next to him.
"Holy fucking shit," she said. "That was better than the last one."
"Gets better with you every time."
"Aw, babe," she said as she rolled over and kissed him.
"Just wait until we break in the new house."
"You think we're doing the right thing with the house?"
"Of course we are. It'll be great."
"I hope you're right. I just have a weird feeling."
"You're just spooked by all the ghost stories. It'll be fine. I'm still liking the haunted tour idea. I think we can make some good money with that."
"Always thinking about money," she said as she ran her finger down his chest.
"One of us has to."
She looked up at him and he looked away. He knew that look. Anytime the conversation turned to money, she gave him the "when are you going to get a real job" look.
"What?" she asked.
"Nothing. You just gave me your look is all."
"What look?"
"You know the look."
"I'm sorry. I'm just worried. A house is a huge purchase. What if my income isn't enough?"
"We'll be fine. Plus, I have some big things lined up with my artwork. I think I'm about to tap into something big."
"I hope you're right."
"Just don't look at me like I'm a loser."
"You're not a loser. I don't think that. I want you to be happy. I want your art to sell. I think it will. I wouldn't have married you if I didn't believe in you." He leaned down and kissed her forehead.
"So you ready for moving day tomorrow?"
he asked, trying to lighten the subject. "As ready as I'll ever be."
"Tomorrow is the first night in our new house."
"I know. So exciting."
"It'll be a new adventure."
Chapter 3. Moving day wasn't as stressful as it could have been. It helped that they didn't have a ton of stuff. Having been in an apartment, their space was limited. Once all the furniture and boxes were into the house, the place still looked incredibly empty. I think we need more stuff, Karen said.
Yeah, I guess so. This place is bigger than it looks.
Karen moved several boxes into different rooms before she began going through things. Bruce got to work and began moving furniture around. The couch looked tiny in the living room, no matter where he put it. They were going to need a sectional or a love seat and some chairs to make the room look less huge. There was a noise coming from upstairs. Bruce stood at the bottom of the stairway and listened. It sounded like someone laughing.
What the hell?
He walked up the stairs and outside one of the rooms to listen in.
Dude, did you hear that? Bro, my fucking EVP is going wild, man. I think I picked up Kurt Cobain.
Dude, we're in Ohio. Kurt Cobain died in Seattle. His ghost wouldn't be here.
How do you know, man? Ghosts can travel. They're like incorporeal and shit.
Jesus Christ.
Bruce mumbled as he opened the door. There was Karen, sitting on the bed watching Paranormal Stoners.
Glad to see you're hard at work.
Hey, look at all the shit I unpacked. I earned the break.
So you're watching Paranormal Dumbasses?
Be nice.
I listened to like 2 minutes of it, and I think my IQ dropped 20 points.
Shut up, dork. She put her phone away, kissed him, and hopped up. What do we do with this place? It's huge, she said.
I noticed, even with the furniture and the TV set up downstairs, it still looks empty. We'll just use the boxes for furniture for now.
No, that's dumb. Maybe I'll run to the thrift store this weekend and look at some stuff. We could get some cheap furniture for now. Hey, we could have guests.
Who? We don't have any friends.
What about some of your artist pals?
Most other artists are assholes. The ones who I am friends with live in other states and only travel here for shows. What about your accountant friends?
None of us talk to each other. We all hate people.
There you go. We just have to throw our own little party.
He said as he took her by the hips. She put her hand up, stopping him. Sorry, she said. Aunt Flo is here for a few days.
Hey, I love my woman all month long.
Thanks, she said as she kissed his cheek. But I'm in sweats and all sweaty and bloated, not feeling my sexiest. Maybe tonight?
Okay, tonight. I'll try to contain myself.
Good.
I'll go put some more things away,
he said.
I'll let you get back to your paranormal weirdos.
She threw a sock at him as he walked out, hitting him in the back of the head. He turned and gave her the finger as he stepped into the hall and looked around. He walked through the other rooms and saw that Karen had put stuff away in most of the other rooms. Not a lot of furniture, and they only had one bed. Most of it was books, knickknacks, and their crafting and art supplies. He had his painting stuff set up in the room down the hall. He looked around and set up one of his easels and a canvas, and pulling out some of his paints. He mixed a few colors before he went to work. It had been a few weeks since he painted anything. Over the next hour, he'd painted a portrait of the house, but made it ominous looking. He hadn't done it consciously. It was just something he noticed as he finished it. Wasn't his most detailed work, but it was nice to get the creative juices flowing. Whatcha doing? Karen asked as she stood in the doorway. She walked in and looked at the painting. Oh, wow. That is amazing. That's our house?
Yeah, I thought I'd do a painting of the house and we can hang it in the living room.
That's nice. Why does it look so dark? You painted it like a haunted house. Is it because of all the stories?
I don't know. I think I just find the house intimidating. It's a huge purchase and a really huge building. I just find it overwhelming and it reflects in the painting.
That is what is so cool about what you do. Every little thing like that factors in to make it special. For me, it's just numbers. There's no art to it.
Hey, the world needs accountants. If everyone painted, who would keep track of shit?
He dabbed a bit of paint onto her nose, which she wrinkled at him before wiping it off as she stepped out of the room and headed downstairs. Bruce left the painting to dry, wiped his hands off, and headed out of the room. Down the hall, he looked at the other rooms and noticed a large walk-in closet. He wondered if Karen realized how big the thing was. They could put both of their clothes in there and still have room left over. He walked through looking around at it and noticed something toward the back. Bruce walked to the back and reached up along the wall, feeling along and saw the outlines through the wallpaper. It was a door. He pulled out his pocket knife and cut around the edges to expose the door completely. Why would they paper it in like that? And where did it go to?
He opened the door and saw the stairway inside. It consisted of maybe a dozen steps, steeply leading upward into a dark attic. He glanced around before Karen called for him.
Bruce, I'm hungry. You want to go out for dinner?
She asked.
Yeah, that sounds great. How does Chinese sound?
Fuck yes.
Great. Be right there.
He looked at the dark stairway one more time and closed the mysterious door.
Chapter 4. The first night in the new house was a difficult one, at least for Bruce anyway. Karen had fallen right to sleep. Bruce wasn't sure why he couldn't sleep. He was in the same bed, just a different place. Maybe it was just all the excitement or the anxiety of a new mortgage. One thing he kept thinking of was that stairway he'd found earlier. What was up there and why was it hidden? He hadn't told Karen about it. He wasn't sure why, honestly. There was no reason to keep it from her. Part of him wanted the chance to explore himself before letting her in on his new little find. Maybe that's what he could do. He climbed out of bed and grabbed his phone, heading first into the bathroom to take a piss. With his bladder drained, he could go on the expedition. Bruce headed down the hallway and into the closet. He flipped on the light and closed the closet door before opening the secret door toward the back. Before heading up the stairs, he looked the stairs over, making sure they were sturdy enough to hold him. Every image of every haunted house movie he'd ever seen came to him in his head. Late night excursions through secret doorways. Maybe he'd find a chest filled with old 8mm films with lots of real-life murders on them. Or maybe he'll find a possessed Ouija board. Finding a Ouija board would only be too perfect. His heart thudded in his chest as he moved up each creaky step. Soon, he was at the top in an extremely dark and extremely empty attic. It was large enough he could walk around, but had to duck his head slightly. Keeping his head down, he walked around using his phone as a flashlight. There were some old newspapers piled in one corner and a large chest in another corner. He hurried over and knelt down in front of the chest, flipping the latches before opening the lid. He heard a scratching noise behind him. Bruce spun around, but there was nothing there. Had to be either mice or his imagination. He could be filming this and making his own YouTube station. Except he wasn't a brain-dead clown like the paranormal stoners, so he'd likely get zero views. There likely wasn't a large audience to watch a skeptical 30-year-old crawl around in a dusty attic. He shook off the sound and pulled the chest open. He got it open all the way, but dropped his phone before he could see what was inside. Something touched his neck. He jumped to his feet and felt the back of his neck, flicking at whatever was there. To see in his phone light, he just knocked a large brown fuzzy spider off his neck.
Jesus H, fuck!
He said as he backed away from it. The spider scurried away before he could stomp on it. The thing was likely more afraid of him than he was of it. He grabbed his phone and looked around using the light to make sure there were no more surprises about to jump on him. He was glad he'd gone to the bathroom earlier, or he surely would have pissed his pants by now. Once he was certain it was all clear, he knelt and opened the chest. Flipping through it, he discovered an old hairbrush and some newspaper clippings. He flipped through them. Most were from the San Antonio Sun newspaper about a woman named Melissa Hunt, who had been murdered back in the 70s at that house. She and her husband had been into some kind of kinky sex, which was really scandalous at the time. He'd apparently choked her to death by accident. When police searched the place, they found a satanic Bible and some other occult paraphernalia, which is how all the Satanism rumors got started. He put the articles back and found a small book. This was a diary. He opened it and read one entry. June 7th, 1972. Ned and I have come very close to awakening them. I can feel it, but we didn't quite make it. The only thing is, I don't know how much more I can take. What happens if it doesn't work? He almost killed me last night. It was fun. But we almost took it too far. He told me I need to warn him sooner. But I want this. I really, really want this. He has no idea how badly I want it. It's not that he doesn't pleasure me. He does. A lot. I just want to know what else there is. Life is too short to miss out, you know? We'll try again tonight. M.H. That was weird. Awakening who? What were they trying to do? It sounded like they were doing some kind of ritual. He'd have to take the diary downstairs and read through it later. Some interesting stuff in there. It was in good shape for as old as it was.
Like it happened sealed in that trunk all this time. Maybe he learned something. He'd have to look up this Melissa's murder too. He heard there had been murders here, but the supposed ritual one happened in the 80s during the Satanic Panic era. It was crazy there was more than one. Maybe this place was cursed. Yeah, right. He flipped through the rest of the items. There wasn't anything else of note. There was an old pair of shoes, a small tin of hairpins, and a pair of glasses. He closed the lid and secured the latches. Part of him felt bad for reading the girl's diary. They were supposed to be private, you know? Except this girl was long dead, and the diary was in his house. Finders keepers, right? Or was it possessions is 9/10 of the law? Maybe a little both. Either way, he was reading this diary. He got to his feet and headed back down the stairs and into the walk-in closet without incident. Once he was in the bedroom, he slipped the diary in between the mattresses before climbing back into bed. This time, he had no trouble drifting off to sleep. His mind filled with what kind of enticing things he might read in his exciting new find. Chapter 5. Bruce spent the better part of the day reading the diary. Karen got up early and was off to work. He flipped through the book. Some of the passages had no dates on them. It would seem Melissa and her husband Ned had been involved in their own little cult of sorts. Something called the Clergics of Dolor. Since he had no internet hooked up yet, he tried to look the group up on his phone, but found nothing. Dolor was Latin for pain. Other than that, there was nothing about any such group existing. Whatever they were, the couple went to great lengths to join them. Some of it wasn't clear, just what they were supposed to accomplish. She didn't write out in detail what she was trying to do or why exactly. Just they wanted to join the Clergics of Dolor, but didn't say why. According to various passages, he tied her up, gagged her, whipped her until she couldn't even walk, fucked her with the handle of a baseball bat, pulled strands of her hair out. She even did stuff to him, including hook suspension. They suspended a set of hooks in the house and ran the hooks through parts of his skin and lifted him up by them. Bruce figured this was all some sort of initiation. It was all crazy, whatever it was. He looked up more on the case. Melissa Hunt was a beautiful woman. She was fair-skinned with piercing blue eyes. In every picture, she looked stunning. Ned was average-looking. He had to know what a hot wife he'd married. After the killing, the cops didn't buy the story of rough sex gotten out of hand. Apparently, that wasn't a thing back then. Ned was charged with capital murder and executed in the electric chair in 1984. The house had gone through several owners since. It wasn't long after Ned's execution when the next murders at the house took place. Bruce wondered if that was a coincidence of some kind. He went back upstairs and walked into the closet, heading up the stairs to the attic. He walked around to see if he'd missed anything. It would be easier during the day when it wasn't quite as dark. Though the attic wasn't well lit, he walked by the tiny window at the front and looked outside when he heard her. "Don't you know it's rude to read someone's journal?" A woman's voice spoke. Bruce turned, banging his head on a rafter after he spun around. He wasn't expecting company and had no idea who this woman was. It took him a second to take it in, and then he thought he was losing his mind. Melissa Hunt. She looked the same as in her pictures, young, beautiful, and full of life. She had on a thin white dress and was standing next to the empty chest. "Find anything interesting?"
"You? You're Melissa?"
"Yes, that's my name."
"Aren't you dead?"
He asked, unable to believe he'd said that out loud. "Technically, yes."
"Then how are you here?"
"That is very complicated. I see you took interest in the Clergics of Dolor. You should be careful what you wish for."
"Who said I was wishing? I never heard of this group. Did you ever find them?"
"Kind of," she said. Bruce suddenly noticed she was moving closer to him, and her voice was getting softer. "They found me." She was just inches away. For a dead girl, she was radiating complete warmth. His skin tingled as she reached up and touched his shoulder.
"What is that?"
he asked.
"How can I feel you? Aren't you a ghost?"
"Kind of."
"You say that a lot."
"I do." She put her hand on his face and ran her fingertips across his cheek. He closed his eyes and took in her touch as she ran her fingers down her chest. Bruce wasn't sure how, but this exchange was arousing him. His cock grew rock hard beneath his jeans. Melissa sensed it and slid her hand down the front of his jeans.
Well, someone is waking from the dead.
Not funny,
he said. His breathing picked up as she pushed him against the window and massaged his cock through his jeans.
Wow, you're really hard.
How is this possible? What are you doing to me?
I think it's obvious what I'm doing to you, don't you?
Oh, God,
he said as he rolled his head back. She increased pressure against his jeans while she continued massaging.
I better be careful, or you'll make a big mess.
She reached up and unzipped his jeans. He just watched as she pulled his cock free from his boxers. It bobbed up and down as it sprung free. She wrapped her hand around it, continuing to stroke it up and down. She leaned in and put her lips on the tip and sucked it ever so slightly, which was just enough to push him over the edge.
Oh, God,
he called out.
Oh, fuck. Holy shit.
He cried out as his cock throbbed and shook before erupting. Hot semen erupted onto the floor as it shot out in thick white globs. Melissa continued stroking until he caught his breath before she tucked it back into his pants and stood.
There, she said. I could tell you like that.
Why did you do that?
He asked. Because you wanted me to.
No, I'm married.
I'm sorry, but your dick said otherwise.
I mean, it felt good, but you just met me. Plus you're dead. God, what the fuck?
He walked around as he fastened his pants.
I'm so confused.
It's okay. It's normal to be confused. He just got a hand job from a dead chick. I'm sure that doesn't happen every day.
So I'll give you some time to process it. She walked over and kissed him on the cheek.
I'll be back soon.
Wait, where are you going? You never answered my questions.
Later. Bye, Bruce.
She said before she disappeared. Chapter 6. The next day, Bruce said he wouldn't go up into the attic again. Instead, he'd work, and he did. The first thing that morning, he got started on a painting. He was going to do a portrait of Karen and give it to her. He hadn't told Karen about the previous day's events. What would he say exactly?
Hey, babe, how was your day? Mine was good. I met a hot ghost girl upstairs in the attic. You don't know we have. And she gave me a hand job.
Sure. That wouldn't land him divorced or committed. Or both. Nope. He just painted her a present to soothe his own conscience. He had finished the body of the portrait and the hair and had spaced out as he worked. It was something he did regularly. Painting was something he could space out and do with his eyes closed when he was in a zone. It wasn't until hours later he realized he'd painted a portrait of Melissa, the dead girl. What the fuck? Bruce jumped away and knocked it off the easel as he threw his brushes down.
Fuck!
He screamed. Despite his best efforts, all he could think about was Melissa. Her eyes, her smile, the cute freckles that sprinkled along her cheeks and just down her nose. He figured a ghost would have perfect, unblemished skin. But to him, she was perfect. Then there was her touch, her fingers. Holy fuck. He almost came the second she touched him. The only reason he didn't was because she was holding back. Before he could think too hard about it, he ran out of the room and down the hall, into the closet, and up the small stairway into the attic.
Melissa, you here?
He called out as he walked around. The attic was empty, other than the chest of her items in the corner. He walked over and looked out the window to see the neighbors outside working in their yard.
I knew you'd come back,
Melissa said from behind him.
There you are,
he said as he turned.
Here I am,
she said.
So you're back, even though you're married?
Well, I thought about that. Since you're dead, I don't think it's technically cheating, is it?
Of course not. I missed you.
She walked close to him and put her arms around his waist.
Did you miss me?
Hell yeah, I did. You're all I thought about last night.
Nice.
He leaned in to kiss her, but she turned her head away.
What's wrong?
Not here, she said.
Well, where? You live in the attic. You're like haunting my attic, he said, laughing uncomfortably.
Not exactly. I want to show you my room.
Room?
She took his hand and walked him to the wall where there was a door. A door he was certain hadn't been there before. She pulled on the handle, opening it. The door opened down a long, dark hall lined with red plush carpeting. He walked with her, looking around. Along the wall, there were various paintings. Some of them showed people being crucified. Some showed sex orgies. Others showed people being ripped apart. It wasn't any artist he'd seen before. The details were all perfect, down to the eye color. He wanted to stop and look more closely at them, but she was pulling him along.
Here we are,
she said as they stood before a large room. They walked inside and the door closed behind them. There was a large bed with four tall posts and a canopy. Large oak dressers were in each corner, and at the front of the room hung a painting of a man with eyes that looked too large for his shaved head. He had on a leather jacket zipped all the way up with a priest collar around his neck. He had on a long chain with a shiny gold upside-down crucifix.
Who the hell is that?
Bruce asked. That is Gorn, the high clergic.
Gorn?
You'll get to meet him eventually. But for now, she pushed him onto the bed and began kissing him. Her tongue slid between his lips, feeling soft and warm. He slid his hands down her waist and easily pulled her dress up over her head. Her perfect breast bounced inches from his face. He leaned in and immediately took her tit into his mouth, as if he were a starving man getting his first meal in months. He sucked, nibbled, and caressed her breast. Melissa sighed as he ran his hand along the curve of her ass, squeezing as he kissed each breast, sucking and nibbling each nipple, careful not to neglect any part of her. He ripped his shirt off, and then his jeans, and flipped her over onto all fours as he reached down and massaged her pussy with his fingertips, feeling her warm juices running down his hand. Once he got his boxers off, his cock was instantly hard and ready for her.
Take me, Bruce, she said, looking back at him. I'm yours.
He didn't hesitate to slide his cock inside her, feeling her pussy tighten around him as he grabbed a handful of her hair while she threw her head back, bucking her hips against him. They couldn't have been more perfectly in rhythm or gone more perfectly together. He let go of her hair as he reached back and squeezed her ass tight.
Spank me, Bruce, she panted. Spank my ass.
He slapped her ass once, never having been into anything rough or kinky, but something about Melissa made him want to play along.
Harder, she cried out. Harder.
He spanked her again. Harder. And again.
Harder, you pussy, she screamed.
It was almost enough for him to lose his boner. But this time, he reared back and cracked her hard. She cried out, and her body trembled while she screamed. He grabbed her hair and pulled her head as far back as it would go. She cried out again at the infliction of more pain. Her pussy tightened as if on cue, and Bruce lost control, exploding inside her. He let go of her hair and squeezed her ass as his body shook and trembled until his every last drop of semen was inside her. She rolled away giggling. Bruce collapsed, exhausted, and kissed her.
That was amazing, he said.
Suddenly there was a sound of someone. Clap, clap, clapping, coming from the doorway. He looked up to see the man from the painting was standing there. It was Gorn.
Well done,
Gorn said.
You need to work on your rough play. Melissa is quite the little tart, isn't she?
Gorn, Melissa said, you said this one was mine.
And he is. For now, just break him in slowly.
Chapter 7. Bruce woke up on the floor of the attic. He looked around, confused at first. Melissa was gone. The room was empty. It was just hard floorboards, a single window near Melissa's chest of personal items.
What the fuck?
He wondered as he stood and noticed he wasn't wearing his pants. They were lying just a few feet from him. He walked over and pulled them on and headed downstairs. He looked at his phone and saw it was almost 5:30.
Fuck, Karen will be home any minute.
Wait a minute. Had he just cheated on her? It felt like he had. He had sex with Melissa. Or had he? Was Melissa even real? Or was she something his mind made up? Shit, the painting. He ran back to the studio, sat the painting up on the easel, and immediately poured black paint all over it. It was a shame to ruin it, but Karen wouldn't be thrilled with him painting portraits of strange women. She didn't mind if women hired him to do it, but for him to just paint them at random would be weird, especially women who didn't actually exist. Some part of him figured he should feel guilty, and he did, except he wasn't sure what, if anything, had happened. The last thing he remembered was that Gorn guy coming in and talking to him. Gorn was scary. For one, he was huge. He looked like some kind of high priest from hell. He'd been wearing a priest's collar and a black leather jacket with tight leather pants, and his head was bald with pale, almost slimy-looking skin. Like the guy was some kind of albino. Freaky. Once Gorn had started talking, Melissa had begun to argue with him. That was when Bruce had passed out, or woken up. He wasn't sure which. He hadn't smoked any weed in a few weeks, so it wouldn't be that. He'd never done acid. So it wasn't like he was getting flashbacks. Maybe he was just going crazy. Bruce! Karen called out. I'm home!
Come in,
he said from his studio. He took the now all-black canvas down off the easel, threw it onto its face in the corner, and ran downstairs. She saw him with paint on his clothes and looked at him up and down. Hey, she said and kissed his cheek. Were you painting?
Yeah, was trying to. Got frustrated. Spent the day working on something, but it didn't come out right, so I scrapped it.
Really? What was it?
Nothing important, just an idea I had. I need to check online. I probably have some commissions waiting.
There you go.
How was your day?
Mine was okay. Got this corporate account today. Their books are totally fucked. I think they were doing some illegal shit, but my boss wants me to unfuck the whole thing. So I'm worried I'll get the IRS crawling up my ass if I make a mistake. But I'm documenting everything. Only thing is, Brenda is assigned to it too. She's so worthless. So I know I'll end up doing all the... Are you listening? Bruce didn't realize it, but he was looking past her and not at her, with a glazed look in his eyes.
What? Yeah.
So what was I talking about?
Something about the IRS.
She stood and walked to the refrigerator, took out a soda and slammed the door. You know, it would be nice if when I came home to talk to you, you paid a little bit of attention to me. You were acting weird yesterday, too.
I'm sorry, I just got a lot on my mind.
What? What could you possibly have on your mind? You stay at home and paint all day. I get home from work. I'm a little stressed out. Usually, you're all attentive and let me vent for a bit after work. Yesterday and today, you've acted like you'd rather be somewhere else. Why is that? Melissa immediately popped into his head, but he dismissed the thought of her as soon as it arrived.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I guess I'm just frustrated since we moved here, trying to paint in the new studio. It's been harder for me to get motivated, so it has me frustrated.
Well, at my job, I have to do it whether I'm motivated or not. I have a boss who will fire me, so I don't have the choice to wait until I feel inspired. She took a drink of her soda and slammed it down on the counter. She was overreacting, and she knew it, but Bruce wasn't normally this distant. He usually had her half naked by the time she came through the door. Some days she enjoyed the sex right when she came home. Others, she preferred some time to unwind first, but always appreciated the sentiment. Last night, he fell asleep before she even came to bed. They didn't even cuddle. He was acting distant, and it worried her. He tried not to let her jab about his work or lack of it get to him, but it stung.
Well, I'm sorry,
he said.
Tell me about your day. I'll listen.
It's okay. It's a boring story.
Fine,
he said, feeling the need to get out of there.
I might run out to get some more supplies for tomorrow. You need anything?
No, I may lie down for a bit.
Okay, it won't be long.
He headed out the door, She watched through the kitchen window as the car pulled out of the driveway. Once he was gone, she headed upstairs to his studio to see just what he'd been working on all day. She found a bunch of his paints and supplies spilled or knocked over, like he'd had some kind of fit. He didn't often throw his shit around. Some artists did, but he was careful about not wasting his things. At worst, he might kick a hole in the canvas if he got frustrated, but that was it. In the corner, a canvas lay face down. She picked it up to see it covered with black paint running down the front. She grabbed a rag and wiped some of the paint away. It was still wet enough. She could see the painting underneath. It was a woman. Was this a commission? The girl was beautiful. He'd said he hadn't checked for commissions. If this wasn't a client, then who the fuck was it? Chapter 8. The next day, Melissa was waiting for him.
There you are, lover, she said.
Yep, I'm here,
he said as he put his hands on her waist, but she pushed him away.
I was starting to think you were all a dream, the way I woke up yesterday.
Yes, coming back to this world can feel abrupt sometimes.
So, can we go back?
He asked. Back to where?
Your room.
Yes, maybe.
Maybe?
That depends on you. Gorn sets the rules for who I bring back. The first time is free.
His cock throbbed in his pants at the mere sight of her. She was so beautiful and gave off such heat. She aroused every fiber of his being by her mere presence.
What do I need to do?
The fee for visiting the halls of Delore is payment in flesh.
Flesh, like my skin?
No, someone's life.
What?
How about your wife? Then we could be together all the time.
No, are you crazy? I'm not killing my wife or anyone else just to fuck you. That's insane.
I'm sorry then, Bruce. She backed away. I thought you were the one.
No, wait.
But it was too late. She had begun fading and soon she was gone.
Fuck, fuck, fuck.
He screamed. His cock was still so hard. Just massaging it through his jeans made it hurt with desire. He walked around pacing and decided to go back to work. He headed to his studio, set up a canvas, and stood there, staring at it, for almost an hour before giving up. He still had a boner from hell. Whatever it was about Melissa, the hold she had on him, was more than sexual. It was almost magical. As much as Karen turned him on, he had never felt like this. No matter what he did, he ached for Melissa. Even masturbating twice in a row didn't soothe his need. Shit, he needed to get out of the house. He got in the car and went for a drive. Deep down, he knew where he was going, but tried not to admit it to himself what he was about to do. He headed to the west side of town and cruised under the underpass. Sure enough, there were prostitutes working. He pulled up at the light and one came up to his car.
Hey, honey,
a toothless woman said to him as she walked up to his car.
You looking for some fun?
Sure, how much?
20 for a blowjob.
How much for more?
Depends on how much more.
Tell you what, does 100 buy me a few hours?
Fuck yeah,
she said, smiling a toothless grin.
Great, hop in.
She got into the passenger side and he pulled through the light when it turned green.
What's your name?
He asked.
Maria, she said.
She looked like she was in her 50s, but if she was a junkie or meth head, she could very well be in her 30s and look that way. He would guess meth by the yellow tone of her skin and what few teeth she had were black.
I'm Bruce.
So, where are we going, Bruce?
Back to my place. I get lonely.
When they arrived at the house, he closed his eyes trying not to think about things. He hadn't planned this out at all. How would it work? How would he even do it? They got to the house where he pulled into the garage and headed inside.
Wow, nice place you got here.
She looked around.
You married? Where's your wife?
You ask this many questions to all your customers?
No, sorry. Hey, you need to pay me first.
I will. The money's upstairs. This way.
He could see her shaking. No doubt, she was hooking to buy drugs. But what if he got caught? By the looks of her, no one would miss her. If he had to kill someone, he assumed this would be a safe bet. Not like the police would be combing the city for a killer. At least that's what he was hoping for. Looking at his own hands, he noticed he was shaking. As they got upstairs, Maria noticed it too.
You okay, honey? You look nervous.
Yeah, a little. I don't usually do this.
She ran her hands across his jeans, feeling his erection.
Wow. Well, I see you're ready for me. Don't worry. I'll take good care of you.
Right this way.
He took her into the walk-in closet and showed her the stairs to the attic.
Up there? She said. What's up there?
I want to do it up there. My wife never goes up there, so she won't notice anything. Plus, my safe with the money is up there.
Okay.
She said hesitantly before going up each step slowly. He went up behind her. Soon, they were at the top, and he closed the door behind them.
There's nothing up here, she said. What are you trying to?
Before she could finish and before he could talk himself out of it, he grabbed her throat with both hands and squeezed. Her eyes bulged from their sockets as she struggled against him, digging her claws into his hands, tearing the skin away. But he didn't break his grip. She tried to kick at him, but he blocked her with his knees. The frail woman was no match for his strength. Soon her face turned blue as she gagged, struggling for air as he pressed his thumbs up against her windpipe, feeling it crush beneath his fingertips. Finally, she stopped moving. When she was gone, he stood and looked at her body and put his hands over his face.
Holy shit,
he said.
What have I done?
Baby, Melissa said from behind him. You killed for me. She stood behind him, running her hands over his chest. Suddenly, the nerves and anxiety melted away as he closed his eyes and surrendered to her touch. He wasn't sure where they came from, but two short creatures with no eyes but large teeth came from behind Melissa, grabbed the dead hooker and dragged her down the long carpeted hallway. They were back in the Hall of Dolor. It had worked. Melissa kissed along his neck.
Looks like you got me for another day, she said. Have I got some fun things planned for us?
Chapter 9. Sex with Melissa was much rougher this time. She rolled his cock, bouncing up and down, her breasts bouncing in his face as he sucked and licked her nipples. Without warning, she leaned in and bit down on his shoulder. First, the bite was gentle, but then her teeth clamped down until he felt the skin break and felt blood.